Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and I'm delighted to be bringing you Dr. Mike Jones, Managing Director of Impact Minerals. For those of you that don't know Impact Minerals, you damn well should be, because they're getting some really interesting announcements out. ASX code is IPT. Welcome to Small Caps. Welcome back to Small Caps, I should say. Mike, nice to see you.
It's great to be here again, Kerry, and it's been a very busy time for us and for you as well, from what I can understand. So the industry's booming right now. Just come back from Diggers and Dealers, mood was great. Everyone on a high. So it's some of the best times we've seen probably in my career. So it's great.
Wow. Well, you know, for those listeners, viewers out there that don't know, Diggers and Dealers is held over in Western Australia. What does that mean for me sitting on the east? Didn't make it there this year, Mike.
missed out on a great party, but there were 1,850 of us that did enjoy ourselves, so it was good. I do feel for everyone in the eastern states, but I don't think anybody really cared actually for those 3 days, to be honest.
But I was about to say you don't really care, but anyway, I think what you did say though is it is really interesting times in the resources industry. There is a lot of excitement. But it's not just that, it's the technology that's allowing us to zone in, excuse the pun, to zone in and find some of these things. So I want to focus today on your two projects. We've got Commonwealth and Broken Hill, but I want to do a deeper dive into Broken Hill. So if we can just start with your Commonwealth project and just update our listeners with Commonwealth, which is here in New South Wales.
That's right. So the Commonwealth has received quite a bit of attention in the last 6 months because we are a long trend from the Boda copper gold discovery of Alkane, which has obviously put a rocket under Alkane's share price, and other juniors in the area, Magmatic and Sultan, etc. And so really the Lachlan Fold Belt, which is where it lies, is now, you know, one of the hottest exploration areas in Australia. Lots of people doing work, and Impact has been there, pushing its work now for the last 8 months on the back of Boda. We've identified one key target, which is what we've been focused on. And earlier this year, we announced that we'd identified something very simple, straightforward, a big soil geochemistry anomaly. And I know those are 10 a penny almost, but in our particular case, we got almost textbook example of the zonation that you would expect around a large copper gold deposit. There were specific sets of metals and distributions. And when we saw the data came out, it was like, we literally couldn't believe it. It was like, this is almost too good to be true. And I think my ASX announcement was called throwing the porphyry textbook at Apsley. And so on the back of that, we've gone out there and we've done an IP survey, which is a ground geophysical survey designed to detect sulfides that are finely spread through the rock. And this particular technique should hopefully highlight that as basically a bullseye, and that we can go and drill. So that's been quite an expensive, long survey, but we're virtually finished now. It looks pretty interesting. We'll be getting the data through. There'll be an announcement coming up on that. And it's highly likely, as I've said before, that we'll have drill targets coming out of that, and we're going to prioritise those, because that in particular is a type of target that could be a company maker within, one drill hole or two drill holes. So we're pretty excited by that.
You mentioned it's a long strike from Boda, which is, as you said, put a rocket under the Alkane share price. Is that important, the fact that it's a long strike from Boda? Do you think it's the same geological terrain and that it potentially could have the same, I guess, outcome?
Yeah, that's right. You mentioned technology. So, I mean, one of the things that junior companies like ourselves can do nowadays is generate a significant amount of geochemical data, for example, on the nature of the rocks and the alteration that occurs around these sulfide deposits. And very quickly, we can, make interpretations and form patterns at the same speed almost as a major company. That's been the big breakthrough for technology for junior companies. So we've established early on that we've got the right alteration, or the same alteration that we see at Boda, And people are excited about Bode because it's the first significant discovery of this type since Cadia Ridgeway, which is Newcrest's flagship mine in Australia, 40-odd years ago, you know. So, but they're not easy to find. Bode was actually discovered 50 years ago when the first drill hole went into that project.
And it's taken 50
years to actually break through. But a lot of that happened in the last 4 or 5 years as Alkane sort of been able to generate, you know, significant amounts of data, work out where they were in the system, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, on the back of that, we've been able to sort of, you know, generate this, you know, this great target literally within a matter of 4 months. So it's been quite a remarkable, you know, outcome for us.
Because you've been, you have been there for a little while. So can you see it sort of, it's literally pushing in because of technology, you're getting faster and faster, the ability to get results more quickly.
Absolutely, yeah, and gain a deeper understanding of the rocks you're working on at a much faster rate. You know, in fact, we generate an impact. You know, we generate more data than we could ever probably interpret on a daily basis. But the data is there, and it becomes useful at some point. So it's quite remarkable.
Okay, so from an investor point of view, what are the next steps for Commonwealth that you think could change that project a little bit?
Sure. So once we get the final geophysical data, I think hopefully we're going to see that there's quite a significant, you know, there's some depth to the soil geochemistry. There's definitely targets appearing underneath it. And then the next thing will be a drill program. So we're already making inquiries as to land access because we know roughly, you know, probably where we're going to drill from the geochemistry. So we're getting the land access and permits sort of underway as we speak now, you know, with the idea to drill this thing, you know, basically as soon as we can. So
kind of what time frame are we looking at? I know you don't know.
let's say by the start of early in the new quarter next year we'll be drilling there. So okay. We will try it a little bit earlier, but we'll just see how permits and things go. So certainly by Q1 next year, January, February, we'll be well into it, and that should be a pretty exciting time. And that's only 2.5 months away.
I was about to say it's not far away, and this year, even with this pandemic, if you want to call it that,
that's right.
It's gone quickly, so lots to do there. All right, let's. Any other final comments on Commonwealth before I want to move?
No, it's a very, you know, it's focused. It's clear. We know what we're going to do. We know the target. We know everything. It's just a matter really of getting to the drill program as quickly as we can now.
Okay, so from my point of view as an investor, it's kind of like, well, it's a long stripe from Bode. Smells like a duck, walks like a duck. Might be lots of ducks there. You never know. Right. And, so all the best with that one.
Huh? We certainly hope it quacks rather than sending us quackers, Kerry.
Oh dear. That's what happens when you we won't go there.
No.
Mike, let's talk about Broken Hill. One of my favorite areas, because Broken Hill, obviously, it's a very mineralized area. You guys have been there for a while. It's talk about the style of what's at Broken Hill, and you've actually had a technical breakthrough only this week. So I really want to unpack that and let's understand that from how investors might be able to, I guess, it's going to increase shareholder value. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but it's pretty exciting news, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, we certainly hope it's going to increase the shareholder value. So, look, we had a great announcement out today about one of the prospects that we've got there for nickel, copper and platinum group metals. Those three things occur together in sulfide deposits at the bottom, generally at the bottom of magmas, you know, intrusions of hot lava that are working their way through the Earth's crust at varying times of Earth's history. And so Broken Hill is more famous, of course, for the silver, lead, zinc that we see at the Broken Hill mine. And we've enjoyed a couple of conferences there that you organised, Kerry, and they were absolutely magnificent fun. And it'd be great to have a big success there so we can start it up again.
There you go. That'd be fun, wouldn't it, Mike?
But for the
interest of my listeners out there, you mentioned the platinum group metals, the PGMs. Can you just explain what they are and why they are important in today's world, and the value around them?
So the platinum group medals are six precious medals, along with silver and gold. But platinum and palladium, out of those six, are the two key ones. The other ones, you know, rhodium, ruthenium, osmium, and iridium, they've got specialised uses in various fields, and the markets for those are fairly opaque and quite tightly manipulated, for want of a better word. But platinum and palladium, of course, have been used mostly in the autocatalytic industry. Yeah. So platinum in particular for diesel engines, and palladium in particular for petrol engines, or a combination of those. Rhodium is also used. But so one of the things that's happened in the last few years is that demand for diesel engines has dropped because of the oncoming environmental emissions issues, in particular in Europe, and there's been a rise of hybrid as opposed to EVs. So the electric vehicles haven't sort of quite come on yet, they're coming. As a result, demand for platinum has dropped considerably, and most of palladium, apart from a couple of mines in the world, is mined as most palladium is mined as a byproduct of platinum. And so as less platinum has been mined, less palladium has been produced. Okay, and so the actual market has been in deficit for palladium for about 9 years, and that's just suddenly been reflected in the last 12 months by, you know, record prices for palladium, and everyone now's scratching around for palladium. So a great thing, you know, for Broken Hill is that we do have some exceptional grades of palladium, platinum, as well as gold, silver, and the other four PGM metals, to the extent that, I mean, there's only probably a handful of places around the world that you see grades of all six metals of this nature in the same place, and Broken Hill is one of those. And it was that attracted me to it in the first place. So it's a very geological curiosity.
So thank you for that, because I think it's important for people to understand that sort of the PGM, the demand supply, and why this is another one that could deliver quite good expectations for impact minerals. So what was the technical breakthrough, and why is it important?
So there are a couple of prospects that have been known about for a long time at Broken Hill, well before our time, and we've taken them on, and we did quite a bit of work 5 years ago, and we sort of, most of the stuff that we found is sort of small and potty, and it was difficult to kind of put it, sort of string it together. But it was always and we've kind of worked on those rocks now for 5 years. We've done a lot of work with the University of Queensland, looking at the, the chemistry of them, where they originated, or what their capacity is to actually carry the PGMs from deep in the Earth's crust and mantle up to the, up towards the surface. And we concluded, look, there's nothing stopping these things hosting significant, mineralization. So the question is, where is it focused? So we know where it can be sourced from. We know how it's kind of been transported. The question is, where is it going to drop out? Where are the big deposits? And one of the challenges, in particular Platinum Springs, where we're now today, is that we've got a 9 kilometer long trend there, which is basically dripping with PGEs plus or minus nickel and copper in rock chip samples, super grades over the entire 9 kilometer strike extent. But only one part of it has ever been drilled, and it was difficult to piece things together. But the breakthrough that we've made, and again, going back to be able to get lots of data cheaply and quickly, is that, we've identified a particular, ratio, and it's not a magic ratio, but it's been a very compelling ratio, which is proportional to the platinum group grade in the rock. Now, I've never seen this before, certainly not a nickel copper sulfide. And so we've been able to demonstrate that as this ratio increases in value, the platinum group metal as assayed is also increasing. So we've been able to use that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, as we've suddenly realized that it's working, to be able to direct the drill rig, forward and backwards along the traverse, rather than like using downhole EM or anything like that, because we've got the rig there, it's cheap. We're only 60 meters below surface, and this thing probably comes to surface. Wow. It'll be, open pitable if we find something economic. And we've identified this a classic channel base at the bottom of this unit, which is carrying the PGEs. And so basically, as the magma, the lava has been sort of running along it, it drops the PGEs and they sink to the bottom. And they often form these distinctive channels with funny, we call them re-entrance shapes on the edges of them. very typical of the Kambalda nickel mines that we see here in Western Australia. Very classic geometries. And lo and behold, we've identified one of these for the first time, you know, and all the work that's been done there. So we've got a sort of a target zone now that's kind of like 50 metres wide. And the mineralised unit is between 1 and 7 metres thick. It's got a lot of copper in it, probably likely has PGEs based on our ratios and some nickel. So the question now is you know, what's the trend of this thing? So it's a great breakthrough making that. So we need to work out, you know, is it 50 metres or is it hopefully, you know, a kilometre? Because at Kambalda, these types of channels and other nickel sulphide deposits around the world, they generally run for, you know, hundreds of metres, if not kilometres.
Wow.
That's why these mines have been so long-lived, you know, in Kalgoorlie.
Is it similar to a Kambalda? I mean, are we talking a similar type of deposit to a Kambalda?
The morphology, the thing about geology is a lot of analogy. So the morphology and the shape of these things is almost identical to some of the units at Kambalda. But the age of them, the type of chemistry, the background, how they formed is different. So, but it's the morphology that's the key. And that morphology, the geometry of it, is also common to many different types of nickel sulfide deposits, you know, around the world. So to sort of find one of these things is like, wow, okay, we're seeing the right things happening at last on a scale that could be economic if it continues and grows as we hope it is. So so it's been an amazing 2 weeks, and a lot of that was happening while we were at Diggers, so there was an extra excuse to go out to the palace for a few drinks.
Mike, you, this is quite a big breakthrough for Impact Minerals. What are the next steps to, I guess, deliver more news, and what's the time frame?
Yeah, so look, we're applying the ratio at the other two places we're drilling, which is Red Hill and in particular Little Broken Hill Gabbro, where, again, we think that place in particular has got scale and might be a little bit easier to actually put things together. And we'll have some news out on that. And then we have to call a halt at the moment for Platinum Springs because we've run out of statutory approvals for the drill, you know, for the drill holes. So we've kind of used up all of the holes that we've got planned. And then we've made this discovery. So we've lodged, or in the process of lodging now, the new approvals to step out away from the discovery line. And, you know, we'll step out at 30, 60, and 90 metre intervals, something like that, and see if we can track this thing, both to surface, which would be great should there ever be a mine there, and then obviously we want it to extend at depth. And, look, it's early days. We don't know which way it's going to go, but that's where we're at. Those approvals shouldn't take too long. When there's an active drill program on, the department in New South Wales is generally very supportive. I know people sort of bag New South Wales for some of the bureaucracy, but that has not been our experience at all. And they're generally pretty quick. So we've sent the rig to the other prospect. So we've got two rigs going there. So again, more news from that. And then we'll send it back to Platinum Springs to do another round of drilling before Christmas. And then obviously, we've got the Christmas break coming up. So, so hopefully we can...
You're not having a Christmas break, are you, Dr. Jones?
Well, we can go into Christmas hopefully with a nice present from Santa for all the shareholders. But and so with that and Commonwealth, you know, this really good-looking copper-gold target that we've got, I think we're in for, you know, some of the most exciting months ahead of us that we've ever had in the company. So,
I can sense the excitement. I've known you for a while, Mike, and I think I can sense that excitement. And I was actually listening to an interview with Terry Streeter earlier this week, and one of the things that he said is persistence is the key to any project, and that too many people, and he said some companies go from, you know, gold to lithium to nickel to this to that. The one thing is, you have always said, I know that this is the area where we are going to find something. And you have been, if not very persistent, and you said to me, we're in the right area, we've been persistent, our persistence is now paying off.
That's exactly right. And it's always been our strategy. We've got large ground holdings in, you know, established mining terrains like Broken Hill and Lachlan Fold Belt. You know, the larger the ground holding and the longer the time and the more money you have, the chances are, you know, you will find something. You know, the best place to look for a mine is near, the other mine, existing mines. Greenfields, true greenfields exploration is also fantastic. You know, that's one way of doing it. But this has always been our strategy, and now we're getting a lot of attention. It's paid off. We've held that ground for 5 or 6 years through the downturn, kept it alive, kept the things pushing along, made a few small discoveries, not the big breakthrough. And now, you know, with platinum, palladium prices and the Boda discovery, you know, that strategy's paid off. You know, we've got a lot of attention on us. There's a lot of activity, people knocking on our door to, you know, talk to us about doing things. And, it's great. So all we need to do now is to deliver the exploration success. Fingers crossed.
Well, as you say, it's a technical breakthrough that you've had this week. And so massive congratulations for that. I'm sure there's lots more news to come. Any final comments for our viewers out there at the moment, because it is exciting times for you, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, look, we've had a lot of shareholders, you know, over a long period of time, and look, you know, thank them all for their support, and we just keep on keeping on and see if we can get it done.
I'm sure you will get it done. For those of you that are listening, this is Dr. Mike Jones from Impact Minerals, ASX code IPT. Check it out. Lots of exciting news to come. Mike Jones, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Yep, thanks, Kerry, and we'll see you again soon.